I said, so my season 4 came out then because they cooked peas, right? But I'm thinking, geez, I'm hoping this is not a predictor of the future.
Everyone's
mic's on.
Sorry,
yeah?
Yeah.
Turn it down.
Turn it down for that.
Oh.
Okay.
You want me to call it in? Call in?
If you want to.
Sure.
That means I'm going to.
Yeah.
Pardon me for being late. I've got some things last minute to just review.
No, I said you were busy. This happens at times.
What's going on?
I didn't get to your email.
I think I just quickly did it because I knew Lauren. Jovi and Laura said their meeting today and forgot to include Gianna.
Sorry.
And last night I did.
Okay.
It is.
Go for it.
Long weekend.
You ready? Okay. Good morning, everybody. It is May 22nd, 2020, 10:01 a.m., and I hereby call to order a special meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors. We are providing access today via conference call, and also if there are any text messages from there is a number, it's 515-451-7293 in case you need to text us during the call. I would entertain a motion for adoption of the agenda today.
So moved.
Second.
Hedden.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. Agenda adopted. As I said, we're providing access by conference call today. That's because a in-person meeting is impractical due to restrictions about having no more than 10 people in a public meeting in during the pandemic. The notice, and this was noticed 24 hours in advance, so we're going to need to talk about necessity of meeting to be held in less than 24 hours notice. What we have today is first on item 6, discussion and consideration of items brought before the board as requests for immediate action. Specifically, discussion and consideration of the types of increased costs that Story County will pay related to coronavirus transmission prevention in opening and operating jury trials. Laura Solson submitted the agenda item, so I'll turn this over to her for discussion.
Okay, and I'll invite Jovi Brogdon up right away. This is an outcome of the courthouse security, the Story County Courthouse Security Committee discussion. The chair, Judge Beth City Curry, had called us back together based upon the fact that the courts are now looking at reopening. And to note that Supervisor Lisa Hedden was asked to sit on a statewide advisory committee. And within the last, less than 24 hours, we've gotten a lot of information coming to us that is going to make this easier to focus in this discussion, I think. And they are questions. So we can, I guess, start with what kind of came up through the Courthouse Security Committee last week, and then Supervisor Hedden would be able to fill in on what that discussion was like. I guess you had it yesterday, right? Okay. So the discussion goes from the very basic, which had to do with disinfectant and what were the requirements, which legal has now provided to us with what the law says we're to provide to the courthouses, which was good clarifying information. But and I'll let Jody address those needs then, and then we'll jump into what else was discussed. Jody, you want to talk about that?
You bet. Should we just start with reading that section and code?
I say the first one, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's all in a good place to start. It says, under section 602.1303, local funding, says the county or city shall provide the district court for the county with physical facilities, including heat, water, electricity, maintenance, and custodial services as follows. I don't know if we need to read all through the stuff below. It just kind of, it talks mostly about physical facilities and what certain types, like courtrooms and certain offices. I think because our kind of focus is the custodial service portion. Unfortunately, it doesn't give like a itemized list of what they think custodial services would be. So, kind of use the general term custodial services, as you know, as we provide in county-owned facilities, is, you know, general cleaning with, and then disinfecting in what used to be your typical locations, you know, food service areas, restrooms and whatnot. Now we know in this pandemic the disinfecting protocol has kind of changed a little bit. We need more. So, and then I guess one could assume that custodial services would include supplies, performance custodial services. You know,
I don't understand. Hold on.
The call is not working.
The call is
sorry.
Not working.
Well, thank you. Okay.
I typed it in. I'm sorry.
It was on, and then when I dialed into it to try to get rid of the music, by that time it said there were 10 callers on it.
Okay.
So
we lost it.
Thank you.
I don't know. Lucy said she could hear all the people dialing in, but no sound.
They said that to herself.
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody.
There we go.
Good morning.
Okay. Thank you. It is about 10:07 now, and we are going to start again. Our meeting, the Story County Board of Supervisors, we had some technical difficulties, so we will just start from the very beginning and repeat what we did. Okay? Hereby call to order the meeting of the Story County Supervisors on May 22nd, 2020. And I will entertain a motion for adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Agenda is adopted. Now I'll give a statement of why meeting in person is impossible or impractical for code section 21.8.1. It's because we are limiting public meetings to no more than 10 people because of the pandemic. We're providing access through this conference call, and hopefully now everybody on it and can hear us. And also there's a text number, 515-451-7293, if anybody needs to text us during the meeting. Now, we'll go on to discussion and consideration of items brought before the board with requests for immediate action, and discussion and consideration of the types of increased costs that Story County will pay related to coronavirus transmission prevention and opening and operating judicial trials. Supervisor Olson put this item on the agenda, so I'll ask her to make a statement first, and then we'll go on to what Jovi was doing. We'll kind of quickly summarize what we said before.
The chair of the Story County Courthouse Security Committee, Judge Bethany Curry, called together the security. That's upon the urging of the state judicial branch, because the courts are looking at starting to reopen when it comes to trials, et cetera. Supervisor Hedden sits on a statewide advisory committee formed by ISAP to discuss this, since this really opening the courts is a statewide issue. And our local courthouse committee met last Friday. Todd Lundell, Jody Brogdon, and I, plus then there were several people from the Sheriff's Department, there's someone representing from the County Attorney's Office, all are part of this committee, but it includes people from Ames because there's a facility in Ames also, and obviously the judges and the court personnel. And in our discussion last Friday, the discussion of the Courthouse Committee, and then it's my understanding the discussion Thursday from that Supervisor Hedden, that committee she sits on, that we are all starting to talk about what we need to safely reopen the courts. So Jovi is going to reread what the state law says, at least when it comes to the first, about the county's requirements about what we need to provide to the courts.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Jovi Brogdon, Story County Facilities Management Director. We're going to be referencing Code Section 602.1303, titled Local Funding. I'm going to read the first paragraph in it because that's kind of what we're going to focus on this morning. So the county or city shall provide the district court or the county with physical facilities, including heat, water, electricity, maintenance, and custodial services as follows. And it lists more specifically the types of facilities, offices, courtrooms, the more physical facilities. We're kind of referencing more of, I would say, the maintenance and custodial services side of that sentence. You know, what types of services that they were expecting. Unfortunately, it's not very clear on what they consider maintenance and custodial services are. What we have, what we're currently doing and have been for numerous years is general custodial duties, which would include cleaning the public areas, including restrooms, courtrooms, and that would be in a, you know, vacuuming, dusting, wiping down surfaces, generally happens Monday through Friday. After the facility closes, and then they have private corridors and offices, our duties in there are the same as vacuuming, dusting, and when it comes to their private workspace, we generally do not provide any type of surface there. Occasionally we might do some dusting of shelves once their personal effects are removed, so we do not get in the habit of disturbing anything maybe on their personal workspace.
Do you wipe down in the courtrooms and in the meeting offices, you know, like where their attorneys are meeting with their clients, so the small rooms, are you at the end of the day just wiping down the tables and chairs, and are you wiping down the benches, et cetera, in the courtrooms?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and then when the pandemic came into effect, you know, there was an obvious need of a high level of disinfecting and more of the common space. Now, the majority of our buildings closed to the public, and then the courts, that facility, our justice center, remained open to the public, and they ceased most court operations outside of a handful of, like, civil trials, I believe. So most of the courtrooms are not utilized very frequently. So we've maintained them, and we still do. We disinfect in the evenings the benches, tabletops.
Okay.
We don't always know which courtroom they use for that day. Sometimes they don't use any in a week, but we still do it each night. Now, we started providing, you know, because facilities management staff doesn't have the staff level to do all this added disinfecting of general surfaces that we didn't use to disinfect and stay on top of it, so they were disinfected multiple times throughout the day. We handed out disinfectant to all the offices and just asked that, you know, village management has acquired enough disinfecting product that is effective against COVID-19. We would provide the product if everybody would just kind of do their part and help spray things down as they see fit. I did provide that to our tenants. That included the court system. We gave them, it's a two-level building. We have operations on the second floor and the first floor for court personnel, like trial personnel, that's outside of the clerk of court's office. We provided a bottle to the first floor court operations, second floor court operations, and the clerk of court's office as well. And at Story County's cost.
And that is a pretty reasonable cost, correct?
Yes. The bottles themselves were just under $8, $7.87 per bottle. The disinfectant, after we dilute, you know, properly mix it and everything, comes out to about 36 cents a gallon. The spray bottles are 32-ounce bottles, so they've used to date not quite 2 gallons, so
72
cents.
Did you also provide that then to our tenants
at
Human Services?
Correct.
Building?
Okay.
Department of Human Services, Human Court Services, including all county offices and departments.
So So the first level, if you will, because as we start to go through the requests that we anticipate we're going to receive, is about what kind of part of our normal provision. The disinfectant would be part of normally what we would provide, that kind of cleaning type of thing,
yes.
But then there to apply it, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we don't have the staff levels. We have to, for Story County employees, you know, the custodial staff to perform that level of disinfecting. At our current staff level, we would have to shortchange other areas. And it's no different than what we've asked our own Story County employees to do. They just kind of do their part, you know. Whether this is something that's a permanent operations in the future, we don't know that answer yet. So at least for now, until we know more, it's going to take all of us to help out.
I'm going to invite Lisa to step in here, okay? Lisa Hedden, all right, to step in here because on a local level, that was one of the requests right away, not only for the disinfectant, which sounds like it's part of our regular custodial supply, but frequent cleaning during the day. Lisa, did you do the same thing on a statewide level?
Yeah, so we had our second meeting yesterday, and, you know, that is still something we're trying to figure out, as who has the staffing or at what level do they need that deep cleaning? Is it between each court case? You know, kind of sounds like that would probably be your court hearing. It's probably what you need to do. So who does that? And so that may be, you know, I'm going to assume that's going to be something more in your local conversations to kind of identify, okay, who's going to take care of that? I know you had Les White from Public Health who did a tour there. I'd have to relook at her notes. I just don't recall if she had specific, I know she had specific seating recommendations. I don't know if she had specific cleaning included in there as well. So that is something to be looking at there. I know for some of the other safeguards or whatever, at least at the advisory level I'm on, they talk to, you know, are some areas needing like plexiglass or something like that.
And I thought we maybe take these on a different level.
So, okay. And I can stop. I mean, if you want to start with the cleaning and stuff, I think they're just trying to figure out is what is the current county's doing or willing to do.
Right.
And then figuring out, well, what does the judicial branch, what's the expectation that the judicial branch needs to do?
So, and the reason I kind of cut you off is, yeah, because that's, I think, the next topic. But to talk about here from literally, Jovi, you informed that the series, our local committee last week, like you're informing us now, that you do not have the staff capability without adding somebody or reassigning someone to be in the court system all day, to be wiping down those court and meeting areas. In addition, we're only wiping down the hallways, the common areas where people would be sitting once a day, and that's after the courts are closed, correct?
Correct. Because to do it, you know, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns, but, you know, each day is going to have a different level of how many courts are in session, how many soldiers are used, but to have somebody available to, as soon as that hearing adjourns, to come in there and do some sort of high level, you know, cleaning, you know, we wouldn't have the staff to perform that. You know, we already are utilizing our maintenance staff to do some of the additional, like the handrails, the door handles, and that kind of stuff that are in like the common and community areas of each building. And if you try to do that, you know, at least minimum once a day, and then periodically is time allowed to try and, you know, just like the rest of us, you know, spray multiple things down every day as we're here, but have somebody, I wouldn't have a staff available that's just, that their role each day is to go into the courtrooms and whatever they may determine they would like sanitized in between here.
Well, we're also learning more. Scientists are learning more every day about this. I just saw an article with the recent CDC guidance said that surfaces are not as
transmittable.
Transmittable, yeah, yeah. As people thought. That it's really the human interaction you know, and that's why face coverings are important, that's why 6 foot distancing is important.
Yep.
When I read a lot of Les White's recommendations, I thought a lot of them really were things the court would need to deal with in terms of that. But,
I agree.
But that's probably where the plexiglass will come in, too, in terms of
the distance. I think with Lisa, this is my interpretation. You know, we've gotten, like you said, in the last just 24 hours, we've received more information than we've had so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I look at, you know, what you've divided. I mean, aside from reading it, I think I can generalize it enough to where you can tell that, you know, we're all familiar with Iowa and what most of our courthouse facilities look like. They're old, they're, you know, and historical buildings. So a lot of what they're talking about is just, it's just general, here's some things we need to think about, not necessarily that they all pertain to the Story County Justice Center, because it is a modern facility, and a lot of the, not that these aren't good things to talk about, but a lot of the things I see in here, they're just not applicable to our facility because it's got modern HVAC equipment that has fresh air pumped into the building 24 hours a day. You know, I think a lot of it is, and it's in the early stages, and I'm glad that they're having these discussions, but I think my take on it is, on this local level, we need to focus on this facility, this address, what are your needs for this facility? Have that, and then we have the bigger discussion on who's going to pay for these, instead of trying to look at this big picture and come up with some sort of cost estimate based off of a large general discussion of things that probably don't even apply to our facility.
Okay. So this first issue, okay, about who would do the work. Because we know it's included in your budget. We received an email explaining the prior, the board did just from our, you and Elizabeth Wignall, that, hey, it's just a budget item. We budget by county building for costs like this. Okay. These basic things like. So then who pays for it? And I'm glad to see Lisa Markley sitting in here also. She may have a rough figure. That's all I'm going to ask for. At least I know how you are about estimates, okay? But Joby also. If we agreed to provide someone to wipe down like is being discussed, you know, doing thorough cleanings multiple times per day, I assume one full-time equivalent who'd be working during the day. What is that roughly as a cost for salary and benefits?
We know that the courts are asking that.
No, but as I go into the discussion, this came up last week already. So
I might be able to provide you with what you're looking for.
Okay.
We currently have two custodial staff that work at that facility, and I kind of broke it out based off how many hours the two of them spend in the courthouse facility doing the general cleaning duties. Like I said, this is rough because we don't know how many staff hours it would take because we don't really know what the request is. So what what Story County pays for their hourly wage plus benefit for what they currently are doing in the courthouse side of that facility, a little over $38,000 annually, just for the labor side.
Okay. Thank you.
If we were, Keisha, a question, and I do say, I don't know if the courts are asking for that or not. If there's disinfectant available for them, maybe they're willing to wipe down their own courtroom in the meantime. And I would be concerned. Well, first, I don't think the judicial branch is going to come up with $38,000 for a county to have somebody do that. But I could see others saying, my gosh, you know, we all wipe down our own places.
Yeah, and there has been a semi-unofficial request for us to provide additional disinfectant. It's come from the chairperson of this committee that Lawrence and I sit on, but it did come from a judge that works in that facility. We could probably realistically provide the disinfectant if they're willing to perform the application. But it has, I Laura, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I would say it's an unofficial request at this point. It
right.
wasn't mentioned in a meeting, so it's worth discussing. So there's hopeful that they're willing to entertain that.
A confusing thing for me that this receiving the law has helped clarify it, and also I think Justin thinking through, you know, about providing custodial supplies, okay, cleaning disinfectant seems to now be covered under what we would normally provide. You know, if they call and say, hey, we got a mess in a courtroom or something like that, we'd respond anyway. So the next level up is not quite to plexiglass yet, but it's face masks. Another item, because this is back to a cost. So we've discussed the cost of if we were to receive a formal request for that thorough cleaning with us providing it, a rough estimate of just labor. And then the next consumable, I call it a consumable, comes back from some of my background, but face masks. They appear in both the statewide discussions so far. They certainly came up in the discussion last week in that local committee, and who's going to pay for them. Joby, I'm going to let you go again. Yeah?
Sure. I mean, the face covering. You know, yeah.
Right.
We can all got to get in the habit of calling yep. that, calling that. But, you know, we've had discussions in other settings about, you know, providing disposable ones to the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And those, at right now, the last I checked, which was yesterday, they are running about $37 per 50, per package of 50 masks or disposable.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about a 300% increase in cost on that particular item that we've got to deal with the main.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where, you know, that's for the public because, you know, we are starting to talk about requiring the public. When we get to that point, we open to the public and start writing it to them. Now it comes down to the employees, and they might take on this, but, you know, if we require them to have something on their face when they're in the public area of the building, but is it the county's responsibility to provide those employees with face covering? I don't
see supplies anywhere. I see, I mean, maybe
correct.
And custodial service adjusted.
Yeah.
But then the reality is we're going to have at the entrance of each one of our buildings some place for people to get face masks. So we don't have the legal responsibility, but we're going to be doing it anyway. How do you say these are for somebody going to the sheriff's office, these are for somebody going to the county attorney's office, these are for somebody going to the court? That's the problem.
And also, well, if we say we don't have the legal, I mean, you know, we still have that discussion to do. What are we going to do in the common areas? Because we still, even though it's a court-based area, people are walking through that to move to our departments and offices. So we're going to have to do that. But, yeah, that's pricey.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
Yeah,
okay.
It's unknown of how many one we may go through in a single day. If that's part of this one, we have no data that we go on.
Right, and I think the question comes, is it totally for example, like the Justice Building, I'm going to use that since that's what we're talking about, is if face masks are provided, I mean, are done,
mm-hmm.
is all of it borne on the county, or is it a shared expense?
Right.
And I think that's, you know, part of a discussion
mm-hmm.
To have.
We could have dispensers at our entry. Somebody picks one up, it's the county's expense, but also ask the judges at the judicial branch to have some available if they're requiring them.
Right.
And if somebody comes in and if they've got some, rather than send somebody back to the entryway, if they would provide some and they're going to require them in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Might save us some money, but it'd be more than just, yeah. I'm just trying to figure out something practical.
Right.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And part of my discussion yesterday was that, you know, the judicial branch, they've been cut by the legislature
right.
over years. They really don't have many additional kind of, you know, dollars to spend, and so that's why they're just trying to figure out what can they do, at what level can they do, what makes sense to do. And so that's, I think that's why they're trying to get the feedback at that local level and then also at the state level to develop some guidelines of saying these are some best practices or guidelines that we'd like you to follow as you're opening up to be able to perform the duties that you're charged with, but ensure that your and your staff and the public are safe in the process.
So we had discussed earlier, now it's on hold because we're not doing a remodel in the Justice Center right away, but we'd already said that we would provide Kapler, no, sorry, yeah, Kapler, the bulletproof, thank you. Okay, behind the judges' benches when we do the remodel, okay? And we voluntarily said we got a price at one time, and you know, and we said we voluntarily picked that expense up. It wasn't our responsibility, but we volunteered. So back to what you just said, Lisa, about the courts are trying to figure out what to do. I'm concerned that they're going to turn immediately to the counties, all of them, and say, we don't have any money, so you pay it. However, that said, we're talking about access to a very fundamental part of our system, the American system, right? And so I don't want to just say to the court system, sorry, that's your problem with your legislature, with the legislature. I would like to do that, but I don't want to lock out people's access to justice. So for me, the balance in general is going to be about where can we justify for the public good,
right,
and keep that access.
No,
but sure, so they're turning to us. We're,
sure.
We've been their partners in the past, and when I say us, I just don't mean Story County. I mean the counties have been the partners who have come through time after time for them.
And I think the other thing I would just like to add as part of this conversation, it was initial that the courts were looking at opening up June 1st,
yes,
and starting out with bench proceedings like criminal and then going to civil, and that is going to be pushed back. I don't know the date that it's going to be pushed back. I know that there's going to be an announcement coming out to the justices today. I'm not exactly sure on the time. It was just relayed to us yesterday that it was going to be coming out. With those criminal bench proceedings being delayed, so not starting June 1, all the other ones in that hierarchy will be delayed, as will be pushed back as well. But they are, I believe they're also looking at how to do maybe some of the family law cases, because about 75% of their cases are family law, how they can do that a bit more. And then also, given some counties some flexibility, because there are some counties that have things all in place and could open up to do some proceedings. So they don't want to totally lock out a county and say you absolutely cannot do anything. While they would prefer to open up at the same time, they're kind of coming into the realization that that's just not necessarily possible to do. There are some areas that are ready, and they're trying to make sure that they're not getting too much backlog, and how do you address some of that backlog?
So there's a couple other things. I'm going to try to move us on a little bit.
On the face mask, since Joby and Todd and I are the ones going into this discussion this afternoon. Okay. So I intend to ask this afternoon how many, based upon past experience, how many people do they think they'll be moving through when they become fully open, so that we can come back to the face mask discussion later on.
Sure,
know what the cost is now, but thank you. Now, yeah. So Olivia, you want to move this quicker? We're going to have a discussion this afternoon about what exactly are we willing to look at to discuss further, and what are we going to say no to?
Sure, and I'm just wanting to, yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to have a meeting. That's why I said.
Right. So face masks. I've got written down, I'm going to ask how many, we'll give them the cost, and is there a way to share? Those are really from this afternoon?
I think that, you know, me personally, I even touched on it earlier, that I would like to see us, Laura, this afternoon, kind of emphasize to them that we would like to see our court counts, what their expectations are for that building.
Okay.
I think that would help us get to that cost.
Sure.
For what they want, that facility, and what they're willing to take on themselves, so that we can put a dollar amount to that. instead of, you know, get
sure.
away from the general, you know. And then I think another thing is, at least in the beginning, do they have to use all five corporate? Because if we could reduce that down, I don't know what the backlog of cases are at this point, because they haven't been having trials, you know. If they could get away from using all five courtrooms, that would could potentially cut the overall cost down. If we can, you know, like take two courtrooms and these are the ones we're going to hold trials and they're feasible, and then prepare those, and then instead of preparing all five courtrooms and then not using all five every day.
Okay. So, Linda, were you thinking about moving us along maybe with discussing labor costs or materials?
I was just saying with materials. Looking at, and there's two separate documents. I was looking at one I think came from the state committee that I just got.
Okay.
Hand sanitizer. I brought that up. We're going to have it at our entryway.
Right.
So I assume people can use it there, but are they asking for hand sanitizer
no.
in each courtroom?
I mean, I think that's part of your discussion or whatever. This is just a very broad document from our conversations yesterday. And what came out from ours is we're having another meeting next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay, let's get a little bit more detail. So we got, you know, the survey that went out last week was just two questions. Can you open up and what do you need to open up? And this was just honing down some of those topical areas.
Let me refer us back to what White's document said, because it says hand sanitizer stations should be readily available on entrance to the building.
I read that as extra. Near the courtrooms than our main entrance.
Okay, so what I'm saying, upon entrance to the building,
we anticipate putting.
We will have what?
Yeah.
Since we're on hand sanitizer thing, I want to bring up that that is not readily available supply.
Right.
So I think we need to emphasize that too. Yeah, we would all love to have a bottle of hand sanitizer on our desk, but that is one item that is, you know, we were able to get this liquid hand sanitizer, you know, that the distilleries are
right.
Like, you know, the gel stuff is.
Right.
It's almost impossible to acquire that. So,
I think that's something that I would suggest is a supply that maybe they need to see if they can do as well. They want to offer people who are coming into a courtroom.
And I think, Joby, based on your comment there, again, this is just for gathering some information. So you talked about, I've got hand sanitizer on here. Is hand sanitizer readily available? Well, one of your comments may be, well, that's not a reality. You know, if you want the gel, that is just not a reality because of the supply chain. It is just not as readily available. So that's what they're kind of looking at is, okay, if we're still moving, we're still working at developing a plan for reopening, these are just some things to consider and for feedback for us to say, okay, yeah, hand sanitizer would be great to have in every courtroom or whatever, but oh, by the way, you know, the back order on hand sanitizer is 4 months, you know, for example. So saying, okay, well, yes, that is something would be a guiding thing to have, but in reality, you are not going to be able to have that.
Yes. Here, to get to the end, to moving forward here, what I'm hoping is that after we've had this discussion this afternoon and we get a request from the courts, from our local courts, but that whatever we decide, we communicate in writing to them. This is what we can do. This is what we can't do. So I'd like to now jump back to the other labor costs that's included in lessons, that was included in my memo that came up last week and is also included from the statewide initial discussion, or at least the notes that Lisa sent us, okay? And that's someone taking temperatures. And so because that's another high labor cost, right? I don't see for us, since we have a hiring freeze on, that's not where I would see it going. Now, Todd was the one who informed us in a CCMT meeting that there are, I think it was that where, that there are some requirements about if we take temperatures, we need people specially trained or certified or whatever. It just can't be we pay somebody, an intern to do that or whatever. So Todd, am I correct that we would need to ask the Justice Center or
that's
different?
That's for employees. That's a medical examination.
Ah, it's a medical examination
yeah.
for employees. Okay,
for employees.
Thank
that's
you.
That's what we had
thank you. Okay, so then the sheriff had asked a question last week then, headed into employee costs again, additional personnel costs, about some of the enforcement about having people wear masks in common areas. Did they want a deputy to be there keeping the social distancing 6 feet or whatever, because that would be an additional cost.
Right.
I'm just bringing it up. Because it's already come up locally.
Right, and that's why, so I added that on the list that I provided you yesterday was enforcement, because if that is something that you're mandatory saying face mask, well, what's the enforcement for that? So is that really a realistic realistic thing that you can do? And so I just want to make sure that as you have your discussions today, that was just kind of my... You know, hey, this is my food for thought. You might want to, you know, you could discuss all of this and say, oh, well, we didn't even discuss what enforcement might mean.
You know, maybe for a final discussion, I don't know, to me it might be appropriate if some sort of court administrator would be the one to actually make the official request to the county instead of coming through, like, himself or... Laura's right. on this committee, I think that might be more appropriate. I mean, from some sort of court administrator saying that here is our official request that we would ask of the county.
And Emily,
I agree, Joby. Yeah.
And that's what I asked when I first heard there was going to be this committee on the statewide level with the court administrators involved, because they are normally the people who deal with this. And I hope they get pulled into this process some point, because they are the administrative chair of the district court, and they are the people who manage their budgets, they are the people who order their supplies, they are the people who take care of all their contracts. So I would totally agree with you there that it should come through the channel, either from the chief judge or the board administrator of the second district.
So, and that I see as for our local committee, that's for Judge Curry to coordinate that with whoever, or maybe it's Judge Curry. Maybe that's part of what has been designated. But I agree, Joby, we've got to have the formal request in writing, and we need to respond in writing for clarity, you know?
I don't think regarding this one, we're not looking at doing this kind of thing in our own building.
Right.
You know, so I think it's really important they understand we've done a whole lot of work. This is something that we're not doing for our own employees, you know, for our own operations. It would be very hard to justify using county money to do it for the judicial branch.
So we're at least I brought up plexiglass before. This is something we have done in our own buildings, okay? And Joby, you very generously offered last Friday. You said, hey, that's not my budget. I've got some people I think can help install, depending on what you need. I thought that was very generous of you, okay? So let's talk about... do we want to go into the discussion this afternoon saying absolutely not, will we pay for plexiglass? We'll look at the cost and make a decision then. Or, yeah, that's something we're doing for our own employees now, so if you need some plexiglass, then we'll do it. So I see those as kind of the
yeah,
range.
Yeah, once again, we fall back on that. What's the actual requesting for plexiglass? That was... her interpretation and is going to provide that to the judicial system. Here's what I think. She mentioned it in a couple of areas.
Right.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend that walkthrough, so I'm taking what I was given from Les, and then John Eichel was there, and his take on comments she made, you know, and it all depends on, you know, how much plexiglass, but it's also an item that is not the most readily available. To give an example, what we did for Story County, it took us 5 different suppliers to acquire that material, and the cost ranged, you know, 4x8 sheet. One supplier we got for $130 a sheet. From another supplier, it cost us $270 a sheet. And it took five suppliers to acquire all the material to do what facilities management has done in the county buildings to date.
How many sheets did you have total?
I'd have to go back and look. We used some freeform product because we weren't able to get more sheets, so then we switched gears and started using pre-made products. And I have to go back through and tally up all the material that we did.
But what that tells me is that it's going to take you a while. And if you were going to say we volunteer the labor if you pay the material, even that, and I don't know if we're there, but you can't get all courtrooms done at once. You might want to, because you still got all your other work, so that might be a gradual process.
And that's why I was reluctant to provide any real cost estimate without a specific want or call it a need, because that's like if we could just break, instead of doing five courtrooms, can we do two?
Mm-hmm.
That'll cut the cost down, you know, and what areas are you wanting plexiglass in? And then can we break that down? Like, I know you would really like it here, but is it absolutely needed? You know, and then because I can't guarantee that I, because, you know, once again, this is affecting the whole planet.
Right.
Everybody's trying to do what we're trying to do right now. So supply is hard on a lot of different types of materials.
And, Toby, I appreciate you saying that you cannot give a cost estimate because there's so many unknowns, there's so many variables out there. And that is something certainly for me to bring back to the statewide and say, okay, just even at our local level, I know we're kind of looking at statewide, but our local level, we can't provide a direct cost estimate because we don't know what exactly the needs are, why those needs are, and can it be, as you said, can you do a phased in potentially? And I mean, I think that's a real comment to take back and say, well, I can't say it's going to be, you know, $20,000 or it's going to be $500. We don't have enough of the information yet to be able to provide that.
And it just literally at times come down to 1 minute to the next whether or not some suppliers are available. And I have to make multiple judgment calls since this began where it's strike while the iron's hot because it's available. And I've been looking at supply chains and look, you know, there's a lot of it's web-based, so you can do a lot of it online. And looked at an item, went, well, I like that. Here's one I want to look at. Went back over here and now it's unavailable.
Right.
I spent 2 minutes looking at something else. So, and then the price fluctuates because it's supply and demand. So I do not feel comfortable putting any dollar amount on anything on there because I need more specifics. And that's
fine. Yeah, are they willing to pay for materials?
Right.
Yeah. You know, there's been mentions of grants and another company. Who's going to apply for the grant? There's grants out there available.
Right.
Who's going to bear the responsibility of doing the legwork on this grant?
I don't know. I'm looking at two lists, and I don't know which lists your group is going to be looking at. I assume you're going to be looking at Les White's list, but also this, they will probably also have this other one that.
Well, I just provided it to Loris and Joby because from our meeting last night, that is not something that was being directed to the committees per se. It was our committee, our statewide committee, wanted some feedback back, and I just felt, they're like, well, you can get it from wherever. And I'm like, well, my wherever is my local judicial committee. So this was some topical areas that came out of our committee yesterday that I provided to Loris and Joby to say, hey, while you're at your meeting today, these are some areas that you might want to, if it's not already in there, to flush out a little bit further or to provide some additional feedback so I can provide some feedback at that statewide advisory.
To the meeting this
actually,
meeting.
Yes, I already forwarded it to Todd. I forwarded it to you, and as soon as we are done here, I will forward it to Judge Curry, and so she can distribute it from them, so that hopefully everybody at least will have 10 minutes to look at it. We are getting information so rapidly here.
Okay, here's my feeling about it. There are several things on here that I'm just not sure that we are looking at or want. Air purifying equipment. Joby says we've got a good HVAC.
Right,
Right, replace fabric covered chairs with plastic or otherwise, and they're all hard covered, and there aren't any fabric chairs in the jury rooms that I know of.
Right, and you have to recall, this came from a statewide committee.
Right.
Right, and that statewide committee is also not saying you have to do everything or make those because they know they're costly changes. They're just saying is, okay, do you have some areas where chairs are fabric and some are not that maybe you can switch some out for the time being? Just thought for consideration. This is not a final document to say this is what you should do, this is what you should do. It was, we need more issues that should be discussed that you may not have thought about already. So that's really what it was a facilitator of discussion,
and the court
not any specifics yet.
And the local committee already knows we're going to meet next week also.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. So that covered all the main areas that I think, Jovi, don't you agree, that were discussed last Friday?
Yep.
Then the other affirmations on that.
It's just general role and stuff. I think it's just points of discussion. I don't think we need to look at it like we want all this stuff and we want this paper. I think it's just points. Because like I said, I can look at it and knowing all the different county courthouses, I can be like, the air purifying equipment, obviously, that's for the most courthouse.
Warren's getting it entirely new.
Right.
You know, that don't have forced air systems. So there's some stuff there that don't have fresh air being brought into the facilities. So that's a potential concern, but not specifically for Story County.
And I would say, too, I think those five category areas that you have there came from the surveys that went out there, and those became kind of the overarching topics to, PPE is one area, screenings, disinfecting. So certainly there could be more avenues that you guys have thought about that's not on there. There may be things that are just unnecessary for here, but for me to kind of report back at for my statewide advisory, okay, you put down air purifier because somebody had that on their surveys. Well, that's not a need for Story Time. It's just to gather another level. It's almost like having another survey of gathering of some information.
Yeah. So going into the 1 o'clock meeting today, I heard very strongly we want a list. Okay. The second thing I've heard is that nobody wants to take on personnel costs necessarily, and the rough estimate would be minimum, if wipe downs would be $38,000. I've heard that everything else, we'd like to know what can they pay for themselves, right? And then we'll walk through what issues are applicable to us, but not in that order, that's just what I'm saying. Those are the four things I took away from the discussion today. Am I good there?
Yeah, and I think this is going to be a continued work in process.
Yeah.
So I'll have my meeting next Wednesday. I'll get information from your meeting today. I'll share it with my meeting next Wednesday, and I'm sure we'll have a meeting a week right after that. And that's kind of our mechanism for sharing of information and providing it back and forth.
Well, let me ask a couple questions, if I might. Laura, she'd asked Alyssa and Jovi for a list of a lot of things. Did you get everything that you needed?
I did. I asked for them in the thought that they were that like the MOUs or whatever, assuming that maybe that's how it had been handled. But once the law was sent to me, it was very clear why we're paying for janitors, custodial or whatever stuff. So got that. I'm fine.
Yeah, did you also see two mails on DHS?
I did,
And we do get a report, every year.
We get money from DHS, which is what I was
saying. Because I thought you were, so you're satisfied.
I'm satisfied. I get really specific about lists. Made too many FOI requests over the years. But I got what we needed, I think, to make the decisions based in what the law is, based in what our practice is. Thank you.
The other thing I was really glad to hear is that they're not opening necessarily June 1, because if there are some things that the county agrees to help with in terms of like the plexiglass and all that, we're still getting ready for the elections. And June 2nd is when we're going to have this building open, and I know that's going to mean it is, you know, that facilities management is going to be busy with this building and cleaning this building after the election if we have a June 3rd return to work date for this building, which we're still going to talk about. But it seems to me that's something to keep in mind is what we've got in the mix right now, and that my sense is that you're going to be willing to do some additional labor to help with plexiglass shield or something like that. You may not have time to do that until after the election.
Yeah, and then, you know, since we're on that, you know, then once we know what their request is, then we can determine how much material we may need. And then I can come up with it. You know, that's kind of like, you know, without going back and looking at my notes, certainly what I said that day, but it's like, you know, there's the possibility that we could potentially, you know, so if they got a high request for a lot of plexiglass they want installed in a short time period, then it's like not feasible. But if it's a reasonable request, then it's a reasonable suggestion that we could help with the labor. But without, once again, without knowing the specific request, I don't want to give a we're on board. We can help with it.
Thank you very much for the time. I feel Todd, Joby, and I at least are much better equipped to go into this discussion this afternoon.
Much better.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else on this? Okay, thank you, everybody. Good information, good discussion. So we'll continue on. Next, we have updates on COVID-19. Are there any updates from staff? Seeing and hearing none, are there any updates from supervisors?
No.
Okay. Let's go on then to item 8, which is discussion and consideration of extending the admin pay through June 2nd, 2020. For employees working in the Administration Building, Conservation Center, and Human Services Building due to those buildings serving as polling locations on Tuesday, June 2nd. This is something that came to us as a result of the CCMT meeting on Wednesday. We had originally said admin pay would end May 31st and all employees were expected to be back to working full-time in workplace primarily as of June 1, but we missed the fact that this building and the other two are going to be open to the public on June 2nd for the sole purpose of in-person voting. And it's going to be a different situation on June 2nd because the auditor is planning on using the assessor's conference room and more of the first floor. So people could theoretically try to have access to other offices they might think would be open but would not be open. So the kind of the conclusion of the whole, or at least something for the supervisors to consider, is just for these three buildings, the employees who work in these three buildings, would it be advisable to extend the admin pay through June 2nd and then have their return to work date be June 3rd?
I think that sounds reasonable because we want to minimize exposure. And we also know that there is construction going on outside our building as well, which makes it even harder for folks that are coming for in-person voting for parking purposes.
I just want to clarify that employees will still be teleworking
as
possible.
Yeah.
Admin pay is only for those that cannot work from home.
Yeah. Yeah. Admin pay is only for those who cannot work from home. Thank you for the clarification, Lisa.
Yes.
Any other thoughts? Mm-hmm. Okay, then I would...
you want to bring up the discussion about the limited agenda?
I was going to bring that up after the motion.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon.
I think it's my turn to actually make a motion, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I move that we extend admin pay for those not able to work at home through June 2nd, 2020, if they work in the Administration Building, the Conservation Center, and Human Services Building, due to these buildings being serving as polling locations on Tuesday, June 2nd.
Second.
Further discussion? If not, Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Motion carries. Now, the next item was that we were considering having a limited agenda for the supervisors. on June 2nd, because that's one of our regularly scheduled meetings. So we would not need to be here if we didn't want you to call in. So is there any thought about that? Is there anything that's coming up that was going to be on June 2nd?
I mean, I don't have anything coming up. Is there anything, Shelley?
The third reading, potential third reading of the ordinance.
For Prairie.
For, yeah.
We can wait.
Yeah.
We can
but
wait.
We can wait third reading. Third reading.
And that's what you choose to do.
Yeah, so, okay. Or it would be we have to move it to
the
9th.
Okay,
we can move it to the 9th.
She's already put out a publication stating
what
the meetings are.
Got it.
If this they're not waived, so I believe I'm just saying I don't know that you can, maybe they don't even put dates in their publication.
I think that they need to hear the public hearing.
Okay, yeah, I think that's one of the reasons you have to put them on.
Right.
Okay, I got it. All right, so that's our only glitch.
Does that mean we can't wait third reading?
We can,
no,
we have to make the motion at a time.
Sure.
Okay, that's
I'm just saying that.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, good. Thank you for keeping us on course.
Okay, so do we want to have a limited agenda on June 2nd?
Yes. Okay. So
let me add that a limited agenda is everything except for public hearing, additional items, reports. If you want to have, you know, liaison.
Okay. Right.
It's minutes, personnel action, consent agenda, and then that's it.
Okay,
but if something came up that we had to do on that day, because you said it was a limited agenda, doesn't mean that we can't schedule it.
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
So,
or you could make a motion to do the limited agenda with a possible public hearing if necessary.
Sure.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, and then because there's always a possibility too, we just pull something from
any addition.
So,
Just because you do have a third reading on.
And we need to find
a limited agenda is just to tell people stay away from the agenda. We want to have a short meeting that day. If
that's
not
correct.
Legally, I mean, we're violating the law if we add another item onto a limited agenda. Somebody brings it to the chair and we say, oh, yeah, we need to do that. So it's just a heads up to staff that we would like a limited agenda on June 2nd. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So we just put that in the minutes that. June 2nd is a limited agenda then because of the election.
And then it gets set up.
Make a separate motion.
Yeah.
So let me make a motion then.
So I'd make the motion that on June 2nd we have a limited agenda with the ability to... How did you say that?
Add additional
items if necessary.
Right. Mm-hmm. I would say just I limit it. Would you accept that correctly?
Second, do a discussion or don't second.
I'm going to amend it.
I would rather have you not even approve second it and just let it die for lack of.
Why don't you withdraw
my motion.
Thank you.
I think just wanting to limit it in a possible public hearing. We don't want to send the message. I mean, yes, always somebody could have to put something on at the last minute, but
sure.
I mean, isn't that the whole point?
If you want to just leave it up to the chair, then you don't have to specify every single thing that might or might not come up.
That works for me, too.
So you want... I just want to make sure I have the motion correct, what you want here. So I move that on June 2nd, we have a limited agenda, and we allow the chair to make the final decision on
what items are
included
on it.
Should be on it.
I'll second that. Yeah, I think it meets our purpose.
Any further discussion? Hedden.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye.
Yeah. Okay. Public comment number one. Comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda.
No text.
No text. Okay. Then I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second.
Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
We're adjourned.